All right, this section is called Making Chinese Friends and Building Your Network. And we're going to talk about many different strategies that you can have, things you can do in your daily life, things you can do now without a lot of money. It doesn't take no technology, very, very simple things that you can do to increase your chances of having a successful, finding a Chinese buyer. It's going to be, your friend and client and bring referrals to you. A lot of this stuff is very simple, but it's stuff that I've found that most of the people that are, I'm consulting are not doing this kind of thing, and they're not getting out there. So we're going to call this get out there. You get yourself out there. Put yourself out there. Okay, so things you can do that are very, very simple. Like one thing you can do, as I mentioned in the small talk section, is that eating is a big thing, right? Chinese food, eating, tea, these are all huge things, right? So if you go, let's say maybe this week, I'd like to, at the end of this video, I'd like you to basically turn it off and plan your next trip to the local Chinatown. Whatever you have, an area of town where there's a concentration, maybe you don't have a Chinatown exactly in your town, but wherever there's a concentration of Chinese people in the city that you live in. Okay, so you want to, for example, okay, you want to have dinner. You can have dinner with your wife or your husband, and you want to have some dinner. Instead of going to the place you usually go to, why don't you head down to Chinatown? Head down to Chinatown, you walk around, look around, see what's available. Find the, whatever is, I always look for restaurants that have a lot of people in them. You know, I travel a lot around the world, and that's how I always, instead of reading restaurant reviews, I always look at the tables inside. And the tables are rampaging. There's a lot of people. Everybody's making a lot of noise, or there's a line outside. That's the one I want to go to. So in for example, in Los Angeles, near my hometown, and, you know, downtown, it's very easy to spot which restaurants are hot, which restaurants are not hot. And although even a restaurant that's hot, that's off time, for example, it's the middle of the afternoon, there's not many people, could be a good one to go to too, because it's easier to talk when it's quieter. So there's no cutting. These are just general rules. You know, feel free to break them. Feel free to add your own. There's nothing set in stone. But eating in a restaurant and talking to the waiter, right? Talking to the people around you, asking for advice. What do you recommend here? What's the most common dish? Yeah, and then just start talking to the waiter. Usually they're pretty friendly. Ask them where they're from in China. They'll tell you which city. Yeah, where they're from. And just get a conversation going. What you want to do is you really just want to make friends. You just want to make basically friends, meet people. So you might ask them, like, you might say, well, you know, I'm a luxury property realtor, and I'm looking for Chinese clients, and I just needed to build my network, and I was wondering, do you know a good Chinese real estate lawyer or a Chinese accountant that you could recommend to me? And if you ask a few people, you'd be surprised. Chinese culture, it's very common to, give recommendations to friends, to hand business, and referrals are really common. And in the referral section, I'm going to give you a step-by-step how to take advantage of this, how to use the ancient Chinese referral system to your benefit, and others too. So, ask them. Just say, do you know any lawyers, and do you know any Chinese lawyers or real estate lawyers that could help me out? Get into a conversation that way. You don't lose either way. If you don't get a recommendation, at least you met somebody, you talked to them. Good ideas to get business cards if you can. You know, bring some business cards. When you start a conversation, I've traveled to many, many, many countries. I lost track how many, but when I know, just my perspective is a personal story, but when I'm approached by somebody, okay, if I'm, let's say I'm in a Muslim country, or I'm in a country where I don't look like everybody else, China, for example, if someone comes up to me and starts talking immediately about a political subject, whether it's good or bad, they could be very positive, right? They could be very pro, for example, in this case, the US, or they could be very anti, or they could have a bunch of deep questions about some historical event, maybe something like World War II, or, Obama, or Iraq war, or Afghanistan. And these kind of questions, I mean, to me, I never look very fondly at those kind of people, because, I mean, I'm just a single person. I'm not a country, you know. I don't mind talking about that kind of stuff, but it's not something that, you know, I'm thinking about business. I'm thinking about my friends. I'm thinking about, you know, just like you, you're thinking about your day and, you know, you're thinking about your regular life and, you know, don't mind talking about that stuff, but it's not the first thing you want to talk about with somebody. And neither do other people. Chinese don't want to do that either. They don't want to talk about the communist government. They don't want to talk about democracy. They don't want to talk about Tiananmen Square. They don't want to talk about even numerology or, you know, Confucius, really. You know, that's not the first thing that they want to talk about. You know, so think simple. Well, think very simple, like, hello, you know, my name is, you know. And, of course, you don't want to talk about business right away, too, because you're just striking up a conversation. So, you know, I just want to sell properties and, you know, do you have any people that want to buy properties? You know, bad topic, right? It's normal to say hi, give your name card out. You might ask any other questions if they're very friendly and they start talking to you and they ask you stuff, continuing the conversation. But you might want to ask if they know a Chinese Business Association. You know, I searched Chinese Business Association Los Angeles on Google, and it was amazing. I got a list of just phone numbers and names for in English for different associations, museum groups, supporting the Chinese Historical Museum, business associations, you know, different kung fu and things like that. All those are great people to talk to and member, you know, groups to become a member of. You want to get yourself out there. You want to get into the mode of meeting Chinese people, talking to Chinese people, and being around where you might be in a situation where you meet more people, right? You can do another thing you can do, like what I think what my real goal for you is at the end of this thing is actually to go spend a whole day. Go for one day down to an area where there's a lot of Chinese people and just spend your day there. Read a book, talk to people, eat lunch, eat dinner, go to a museum, and you'll be amazed what happens. People will come up to you and just start talking to you. You'll start talking to people and you just make friends naturally. I was just talking to my friend Adam and he said he met somebody in Birmingham, and the person that he met ended up being introducing to somebody else who ended up sponsoring his first visa in China. And I've had that kind of stuff happen to me a lot. I'll meet somebody, you know, there's just not that many people going to Chinatown and not just eating, right? They're not talking to people, you know? Treat people as people, right? Make friends, treat them as people, and you'll get all kinds of benefits, and they will too, and you'll gain from it personally as far as business also. But you'll gain from it personally, you'll feel better, you'll learn more, you'll enjoy it, it'll be interesting. You know, the Chinese community is super interesting and it's actually always changing, you know. Just one example, it used to be Chinatown in most Chinatowns in the US, Canada, they were all Guangdong speaking, right? They were mainly from Guangdong City or Hong Kong, which is right next to Guangdong, and they speak a different language. The writing is the same, but they speak a different language. And the characters are the same. They can read everything, but they can't communicate. And so those communities are quite old when Chinese came, and that they're changing as China's gotten wealthier. It's a totally different type of person that's going over to the US now. You know, used to have you know, people looking for work and wanting to make money. Now you're having a lot of people who already have money and they're very sophisticated already, and they're coming over to enjoy their life or for some other reason, for their family, education. So talking to these people is interesting, and just hearing what's happening in Chinatown for me is super interesting. I always love to kind of find out what's going on, what's the latest, you know, because I like languages. So I'm just seeing how the language is changing now to Mandarin slowly as there's more Mandarin speakers going around the world. It's pretty fascinating, actually. So any kind of conversation that interests you, that interests me, doesn't interest you, but to anything that interests you, just talk to them about it. If you like cars, talk about cars, go to a car dealership, yeah. And just start to get familiarize yourself with the Chinese area. One thing I want to say, one caveat, is that Chinese people are not welded to Chinatown. There's no chain holding their leg into Chinatown, right? So, you know, there's Chinese people all over the place. So one other thing you can do is after you hit the Chinatown, what I try to find out, and this is something you can ask when you're at Chinatown, you can say, look, what's the most happening hip place for young people, for young Chinese in your city? Say, where do they go? Where's the busy place, you know? And I went to a restaurant in Los Angeles recently when I was visiting, and I was surprised. It was like super happening. It was in a part of Los Angeles that's pretty quiet. There wasn't much going on, but this particular restaurant was absolutely crazy. Like, we had to wait 30 minutes for a parking space, and then when we got the car park, we had to wait like another 45 minutes to get into the restaurant. This is a fantastic opportunity. You could talk to people in line. You can sit there. You can ask people questions. What do you recommend eating here? You just talk about normal things, whatever you're doing, share a cigarette, whatever. And so waiting in line is not a bad thing. You meet a lot of people that way. Talk to the waiters, talk to the manager, get the business card, give him your business card. For example, just simple things like look on the table or maybe ask the manager if they have a bowl or a basket where you can put your business card in and get emails from the restaurant or become part of a community or whatever, get on a list. It's a great way to get your name out there. So just talk to people. You might ask some question like, who are the top Chinese real estate agents in this area? And get their phone numbers and go ahead and meet them. It's a fantastic use of your time. You get to meet the agents. You can find out what kind of partnership agreements they offer, if they do agreements, if they've been approached before, what kind of properties they're selling. They might even tell you what's popular, what kind of properties, like for example, in your area, what properties are selling well. And they might even, you might ask them, like, which part of China are these people coming from? All this stuff just builds your knowledge. You're building your knowledge. You can ask again the same question I said before, which is like, do you know a lawyer or an accountant? And then you go meet those people, you network with those people, find a good lawyer, go through a few, figure out one that really matches your style and find somebody you could be a partner with. And they can help your clients to understand the legal aspects, they can translate, they can do a lot of things, depending on the person, of course. But a good place to start is with a professional team. So you have your professional team that you've built up through your personal network, right? One thing, I often hear the same advice given to people when they talk about China, and I just get so tired of it. It's so tiresome, really. I don't want to give you anything that is old and useless, which is a lot of the advice today. So let me tell you one book. Don't read The Art of War. You're not going to war. What you want to do is you want to make friends and you want to understand China. If you really want to read a book that they'll teach you in very deep level about Chinese culture, you might want to pick up The Book of Changes called the I Jin. The I Jin, that book is a fantastic book, and it will tell you everything. It's written 2,000 years ago, and there's a lot of books out there about the I Jin that are like synopsises talking about it. And if you search Amazon for the Book of Changes, you'll find it. And that gives you a really good idea of the depth of Chinese culture, where a lot of things come from, how people think about things, and it will definitely help you sell the Chinese, understanding these things for many reasons. One reason is that the Chinese tend to be more tied to history than other nationalities, in my opinion. In my experience, is that they talk about history a lot. They think about history a lot. Chinese history is a big topic in any magazine or newspaper or any dinner. Often when you're in a dinner, people will bring up a story, an ancient story. When I was studying Chinese, one of the hardest things for me was learning all the stories and that people would put them into jokes. They would just integrate them into jokes. It's like we would maybe have a joke from a TV show, like a popular TV show or a popular movie. They just throw it into the conversation and everybody would laugh because they understood what he was talking about. They knew the story so they could understand what he was trying to say and how he's using that story. So the I Jin is not for everybody. But there are short, where they capture the essence of the book, and in short, you can read that. I'm sure there's also videos that explain a little bit about it. But I studied Chinese culture actually in a Chinese group for about a year, and that was in the end result, it's just all the I Jin. If you read the I Jin, you know enough. That's all you need to know. So there's one little tip that might help you out, and actually quite a few tips. So go out there and build your network. Go out there today, physically get out there and shake hands, meet people, kiss the babies. Just press the flesh, and make friends. And just, like also, keep your eyes too, right? Look around and look at what people are doing. Cars are they driving? Which shopping centers are popular? Maybe make a note of which shopping center, which part of town, And then all this stuff matters because you'll tend to go back to these places and you'll find out there's another business there. Or, if you just look around, there's often what you're looking for, like the accountant, the lawyers and partners and Chinese agents. You'll just see them. Sometimes you don't even have to ask. But there's tips for getting yourself out there. So get out there today. Get out there and send me an email. Tell me what you did. Tell me your experience. Did you meet anybody? What's their name? Like first name or whatever. Practice saying their name and then send them an email. So, you got a follow-up. You're not just going and saying hi and then it just disappears into nothing. Don't end up with a big stack of business cards you don't do anything with. When you get home, have a rule. I have a rule. I go to an event, and if I'm meeting people I want to meet, and I just, it's really my purpose is to be there and to meet people, I will get home. I'll organize the cards, and I'll either do them on my Card Bunch LinkedIn application and just add them on LinkedIn. But a lot of Chinese aren't on LinkedIn, so I just will send them an email or I'll send them a text. I'll just some way that we contact, and I'll get a feedback, and that's the beginning of a relationship with Chinese. And then you can send them later on. You can send them, looking at the Chinese calendar, there's about five or six big Chinese holidays. Very nice thing to send a little, text, right? Hey, happy Chinese New Year, Duan Wu Jie, Kuai Le, something like that. Happy Duan Wu Jie, and then that kind of thing. It means a lot to Chinese. And trust me, you will be the only American doing that, the only Canadian, the only British person, the only Australian. Nobody else is thinking about that. And they think about it, they remember it. I know because I'm over here, and when people say, when they say, for example, no other country except the US basically celebrates Thanksgiving and end of November, right? So when someone says, hey, happy Thanksgiving, I think, oh, he's thinking about me, right? He knows Thanksgiving, right? So think the same way for them. Remember the holidays and make friends.